Messages from the house.
February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 345, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriation. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Where do we have the indication? That'll be back here somewhere. Oh, here we are. Ayes 54, noes 6. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Okay. That's it. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself back into committee of the whole.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. You can do the privilege.
Yep, I will.
Committee of the whole will return to order. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate and staff, those of you that enjoyed some Kronskis there at lunchtime today, I was asked by several people what was in them or what are they made out of. And these are beef Kronskis with some secret herbs and spices, and I was informed by my good colleague here that many people have died trying to get the recipe. So.
Out-of-state animal parts. Thank you, Mr. Hastert. Yes, Senator Hastert. All right. Let's see. The first bill for our consideration will be House Bill 133. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 133, Human Trafficking, sponsored by Representative Connolly, an act relating to crimes and offenses. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Senator Schiffer, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill Number 133, Human Trafficking. And Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
House Bill 133, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 6.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go ahead and move the standing committee amendment so we have it in front of us, and I will yield the floor to my colleague from Sweetwater County.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I would bring to you House Bill Number 133 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, would it be your pleasure to deal with the Standing Committee Amendment first?
If you'd like to at this time.
Basically, the Standing Committee Amendment is cleanup language on the bill itself. It references our statutes prior to this Standing Committee Amendment. We used a reference to blackmail, but our statutes say extortion, various things like that. So it's a tightening of language and basically cleanup. It really makes the bill even more concise and even tighter. And I would urge your support of the Standing Committee Amendment.
All right, question on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 133, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 133, of course, addresses human trafficking. We know human trafficking exists in Wyoming. There have been cases. I'll tell you just on a personal note that when I first went to work a number of years ago as a junior high school counselor, the first serious case I had was a human trafficking case. So it's in Wyoming. It has been here. We do have a federal law. It's been on the books since the year 2000. Since then, 49 of the 50 states, Wyoming being the last, have passed state laws dealing with human trafficking. And they've done that because we know that our local law enforcement experts, our local officials, are the ones who know the community. And we know that our current statutes just simply aren't comprehensive enough to address the issue of human trafficking. I don't believe I need to spend a lot of time telling you that the problem is there. I'm sure you all received the email with the petition with 996 signatures on it supporting passage of this bill. So I don't want to take our valuable time explaining the need for it. What I would like to tell you is that House Bill 133 establishes the crime of human trafficking in Wyoming. So it basically creates three new crimes that we have not had, so, which have meant that our statutes have not been comprehensive enough to address this issue. The first crime is forced labor or servitude. And that has to be intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly using coercion, deception, or fraud. So it's very clearly and very narrowly defined. That's one of them, forced labor or servitude. The second is sexual servitude of an adult. The third is sexual servitude of a minor. It describes those. House Bill 133 also provides legal protection to any human trafficking victims. It provides for training on human trafficking issues for local law enforcement and other people who will be dealing with this. It's an issue that we hope we can address at this time so that we can cover all the elements of the heinous crime of human trafficking. With that brief description, I would urge your support of the bill.
Discussion on House Bill 133. Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation in House Bill 133, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 133 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 153. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 153, Representation of Children in Compact Proceeding, sponsored by Representative Throne. An act relating to the Interstate Compact on Juveniles. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christian, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 153, Representation of Children in Compact Proceedings. There are no standing committee amendments, and to further explain this bill, I call on myself.
Senator Burns.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, what this bill does is, in those cases where you have kids who are who have run away from another state, say they've committed a crime in another state, they come to Wyoming. For that sort of thing, there is a compact between all states, all 50 states have signed, called the Interstate Compact on Juveniles. And under that compact, we will have a hearing for the child, and then send them back to their state. But they have to have representation while they're here. And so what this bill does is there's been kind of a little gap in there. And so what this bill does is it puts them under the auspices of the public defender. There are not a lot of them, and the public defender's office says it wouldn't take any additional manpower on their part, and they're actually more than willing to do this. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know that we really need a whole lot more explanation on this bill. It actually is just a common sense thing, costs nothing, and these kids will get better representation. The only thing I might add is when these kids do appear in Wyoming before the judge, part of the representation is to make sure that they're not being sent back to a worse environment than you know, that they're not getting away from a terrible environment in the first place, and that's what the representation is about generally.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Discussion on House Bill 153. Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 153, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 153 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 154. Will the reading clerk please read the House Bill?
House Bill 154, Representation of Children in CHINS Proceedings, sponsored by Representative Throne, and Act Relating to Public Defenders. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Record, and Wildlife Cultural Resources, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Crafton, Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 154, Representation of Children in CHINS Proceedings. There are no standing committee amendments, and for further explanation of the bill, I would ask that you call on the senator who explained the last bill.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in this particular case, again, we're dealing with juveniles, and in under statute, when a child is listed as a juvenile delinquent, they get representation by the public defender's office, but not in cases of CHINs. Those are children in need of supervision, and more often than not, they're represented by some attorney who is appointed by the court in wherever county they are, and the counties have to pay for this. There are only 312 of these cases currently, in this last year, 2012, and the public defender's office would be more than willing to go ahead and represent them, because quite often in these cases, a lot of these kids will be moving from CHINs to being listed as juvenile delinquents. And so it gives continuity for representation to them. We'll save money for the counties. And again, as in the last bill, public defender's office says that it's not going to be any greater burden to them, so it's got no additional personnel cost. And with that, I'd welcome any questions.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Any questions or discussion on House Bill 154? Question having been called for. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 154, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 154 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 187. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 187, Campaign Finance, sponsored by Representative Stubson, and Act Relating to Campaign Finance Reporting. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Lex and Political Subdivision, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Nutting. Excuse, Senator Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, I'll talk very fast and ask that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 187, Campaign Finance. There are no standing committee amendments, and I would ask the chair to yield to the great senator from Campbell County, who's a co-sponsor.
You slowed down there at the end, Senator Case. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm the great one today since I'm the only one here now. House Bill 187 have to do with campaign finances and reporting. Basically, it comes about in trying to see if we can encourage more people to give individually and maybe less from political action committee. And we make some changes in the law to encourage that on page 2 to statewide political office for the candidates or for their committees. They can now, they would be able to give $2,500 per election. That is up from 1,000. Also stating that no contribution for the general election may be given prior to the date for the primary election. And then as we move on to page 3 for the more or less for our races and those county races, non-statewide races, can give up to a candidate or their committee $1,000. And then down below, we're changing the number, but I believe for a political contribution for any period consistent of a general election and a two-year period, it's allowed to give up to $25,000, and I believe that's the current law on that. Then as you move down to Section E on page 3, we get into the area of penalties. And this would set up a civil penalty up to $10,000 for which shall be imposed by a court competent jurisdiction only if the corporation, person, or organization have previously been convicted of a violation of those provisions. As the bill moves on, then we go to the bottom of page 4. Currently, there's no limit on political action committees, and this would be limited to $5,000. One of the things that I understood that brought this bill forward, we have had individuals that would give a large amount of money to a political action committee, and that committee would give the whole amount of money to a candidate, which it just kind of circumventing the law. And then for statewide political office, that would be to $2,000, which currently there is no limit. To go on to the sixth page, and this is for candidates or candidates committee, we change when they knowingly and willfully failed to file a report. It's currently they would be guilty of a felony and could be punished by imprisonment for not to exceed 2 years. We change that to a misdemeanor and imprisonment up to 1 year. And this is when they do not file or do not file their campaign's report. Currently, the action on that is they are notified, and if they do not file them with another certain amount of time, the names are turned over to the county or to the state attorney general's office. And apparently, they kind of end there. Don't have any information on them ever continuing after that point. I'd ask your support for the bill and try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Hines. Any discussion on the bill? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I like this bill for one reason and another reason I don't. I like it because it puts restrictions on the amount of money you can spend, and then I can tell these people I've hit my limit and don't call me anymore. But on the other side, Mr. Chairman, it limits my free speech. And I think the Supreme Court of the United States basically equated dollars to free speech, and that took a lot of these restrictions off as far as national elections. So I'm wondering if we're kind of getting crosswise here of free speech when we put all these limitations on, and just a little discussion about that if anybody knows.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, exactly my thoughts. This title of this bill ought to read Providing Limitations on Free Speech, because that's basically what it's doing. Now, it's a little more complicated than that because it moves some up and some down, and there has been a specific Supreme Court decision, fairly recent vintage, that did uphold campaign contribution restrictions, but basically what they are doing here is limiting free speech. I do have a question. What do you do about the activities of semi-independent political action committees, where the political action committee buys a bunch of advertising And I know in the recent campaign I was involved in, the opposition spent, I think, well, the radio station told me about $4,000 on an ad. I have no idea whether that was coordinated with my opponent or not, and whether he reported it or not. I didn't bother to look. But he's on their board. Is that an independent expenditure? Is that subject to these limitations? How does that work? I had a call, Mr. Chairman, from a gentleman here in Cheyenne who was mad at my opponent and wanted to run ads against him. I told him free country. You know, I couldn't stop him. But I asked him, please don't make any personal attacks, that those were self-defeating, and stick to the record, which he did. I have no idea how much he spent. I do understand he spent some, and I heard one of the radio ads. Is that one of these limitations? Is the candidate supposed to report these? I didn't report any specific amount because I had no idea how much it was. There's some real problems in this whole campaign finance section. I'm not sure this bill really does much to solve those problems. But I have some real reservations about the whole system as being a restriction on free speech.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm with my two colleagues. I have some concerns as well, but one thing I do like about this bill is the explanation from our former president that it cleans up the activity of a pass-through account. And I think that is a problem in our statutes, where if an individual can contribute a huge amount of money to a PAC and it just simply becomes a conduit. And so I think that is one thing that this bill is trying to get at. One of the questions I had is at the bottom of page 3, and if I'm reading that correctly, we're putting a civil penalty in place of a fairly significant amount of money, but then we're saying that if you violate this, if you haven't ever been convicted before, we're just going to give you a pass on it. For those of you who golf, I think that's a mulligan is what they call that. But it's I guess I have a little question about that. If we're going to create a significant penalty, the thing about it is, Mr. Chairman, the campaign might already be over and the damage has already been done, or the inequity, and then we're just going to give somebody a pass. So that I do have a question on that provision. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. There is a Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, just to answer a couple of concerns briefly, there's nothing in this bill that changes anything in our current law about whether it's free speech or not. I went to the Secretary of State office and visited about that, and I brought up that subject, and they had no answer for me. They said we have limits on it right now. And they said to me they didn't know whether that just pertained to federal or not, but they said that is currently our law. And all this bill doing is changing dollars amount on limits on what you can or cannot give a candidate or a candidate committee. Let me see if trying to think. The one section that the representative last speaker brought up, we also discussed, and I believe there's a committee of the whole amendment that's coming to address that, where there's a, where the first time you just say, well, that's against the law, but there's no penalty. The second time, we brought that up in committee, and nothing was done about it in committee. But there is I see amendment coming to address that issue. But basically, you know, the concerns that the sponsor that brought this and that I signed on with him was that trying to encourage individuals to give to candidates rather than PACs to eliminate where you're listed, where the public knows who is donating to a candidate rather than giving to a PAC, and a PAC gives it and we don't know who is giving to that PAC. Mr. Chairman, I think maybe the committee of the whole amendment would answer a few of those questions.
Thank you, Senator. Would the reading clerk please read in the committee of the whole amendment at this time?
House Bill 187, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 3, line 19.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move committee of the whole amendment to House Bill 187. Mr. Chairman, what this does is go into two areas and clarifies and changes the language on convictions. One is in reference to the mulligan that was discussed by the good senator from Natrona County, and that is located on page 3 in on your gross copy, lines 17 through 24, where the fine is imposed in a court of competent jurisdiction only if the corporation, person, or organization has previously been convicted of a violation of these provisions. I don't think our election code should give mulligans, Mr. Chairman. So I have proposed an amendment, and this is the parts on lines 1 through 16 of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, that would take and make it $5,000 for the first offense and then up to $10,000 on the second offense. So basically the language that exists there now for the $10,000 becomes a second offense, but it imposes $5,000 on the first. Now, that's the part in that section, Mr. Chairman. And then if you all go to the very last page of the engrossed bill, you can see another thing that bothers me, and it's a change. It's on page 6. It's section D there, and it's the very last lines. But you can see that this is the penalty for someone who knowingly and willfully fails to file a report as required, or who knowingly and willfully subscribes to, makes, or causes to be made a false report. And that's our current language. And our current language talks about that being a felony and imprisonment not to exceed 2 years. This bill removes the felony, makes it a misdemeanor, and, of course, the penalty with the misdemeanor is no more than not to exceed 1 year. But, Mr. Chairman, I feel that our election laws and our election process should be conducted at extreme high standards with high penalties for knowingly and willfully violating. This isn't your inadvertent error. This is someone who's lying and deliberately lying to influence the outcome of an election, Mr. Chairman, and I think that's a high standard. Of course, the amendment is divisible. You can deal with the mulligan first and this, or we can deal with them both together. I suggest both together.
Thank you, Senator Case. Senator Meyer.
A little discussion. I don't see any language in this, and maybe it's in a different section where it says that you're trying to influence the outcome of an election. I could see maybe if that were the standard, then, yeah, it should be a felony. But, folks, you know, I don't know who else has had trouble filing electronically, but I can tell you our internet from time to time goes down out there, and there are some times when I know that the internet went down, and I couldn't get that report filed till the next day, and I had to drive into town to do it because, you know, when the wind blows up in our country and the satellite dish moves, it takes me about 3 weeks to get a serviceman out there to reset the satellite dish. So, Mr. President, I mean, Mr. Chairman, I think that if we want to add that language in there, that you're filing that report to help determine the outcome of the election, that's one thing for a felony, but just failing to file a report being a felony, I think maybe we need a little wordsmithing on second reading to make it a felony.
Senator Scott.
Chairman, I would like to have the amendment divided with lines 1 through 15 being one division and the balance of the amendment being division 2. That separates the so-called Mulligan issue from the felony issue.
The request is to divide such that lines 1 through 15 are division 1, lines 16 through 21 are division 2. Chair rules that it is divisible. Senator Scott, please proceed with division number 1. Or he's not going to. All right, Senator Hines, on division number 1.
Mr. Chairman, I have no problem with division 1.
Question. Discussion on division number 1, hearing none. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt division number 1 of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 187, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division number 1 has passed. We are on division number 2. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the comments of my good colleague from Goshen County were directed at division number 2. And whether this is influencing the outcome of election, well, I certainly see it that way. If you are filing false reports or neglecting to file, you are bringing money into an election that doesn't get to the light of day, as our law requires, our current law. And remember, our current law has that exact language and a two-year felony. So if you say you get a bunch of money in your campaign and you don't say where that money comes from, that's influencing the outcome of an election. Because according to our laws, the people have a right to know where you got your money. And that's the existing law right now. And so if you knowingly and willfully, this is not the case of the satellite dish getting hit by a big windstorm, you guys. This is where you are trying to deceive people that are participating in an election. And that is a very bad thing to do, Mr. Chairman, and that's why our existing law calls for a felony in up to 2 years.
Thank you, Senator Case. Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, let's see what is in this Section D. It adds in candidates' campaign committee. Now, this is the existing law for a political action committee, but this section adds in the candidates' campaign committee. And in our existing law, if you're you're required, even if you're not in an election, to file a report. Even if everything is 0000, you had no expenditures and you had no contributions, you're required to file a report. And folks, if under this particular statute, if we change it, if you don't file that report that says 000 and 000 in an off year when you're not even in an election, you're still guilty and you're still a felon. So, you know, I'd say let's not pass this one. Let's go back in. And if we have to make some changes, bring in those other statutes where you're 000 and it has nothing to do with the campaigns or elections at all, and make sure that you're not a felon. Because, you know, we just don't quite have this one ready to sit out, and it's not fully baked yet.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this division. Mr. Chairman, I have reservations, whether it's existing law or with this bill, I have reservations making the exercise of free speech into a felony. I don't think that's appropriate. I think Senator from Goshen County is entirely correct with regard to the difficulties of using the current system. It is slow. It is confusing. The service that those of us in the country depend on is erratic. And, Mr. Chairman, some of the things I was never quite sure had I got them filed right or not. And on a couple of occasions, the campaign finance system, the computer wouldn't let me file an accurate accounting of the primary versus the general election contributions. there's some real problems there that aren't sorted out, and I think felony penalties here are entirely inappropriate. I would urge the defeat of this part of the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Further discussion on division number two before the sponsor rises. Seeing none. Seeing Senator Hines. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak against this division and simply say that I think we need to change the wording a little bit there and look for a reason to get a penalty that would be enforced. My suggestion would be to defeat this and move it forward to second reading. What the changes is that been brought out, we're bringing in a campaign candidates committee, and that's probably your friends. And if he or she knows it's supposed to do it and just didn't do it, do we want to cause, you know, the first time with a felony on that? So I think it's pretty harsh, and I think that if you would pass this to second reading, we can work something out, perhaps. I think part of the reason why nothing is ever done, if they look at someone that didn't file a campaign report and you're going to charge them with a felony or forget it. Apparently, they forgot it.
Thank you. Further discussion before the sponsor, Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to work with people to try to get something for second reading. But let's think about the real practicality of this. Our Secretary of State's office works very hard to give you reminders and to remind you after the fact. And, this is the case where you absolutely flat out refuse to say where your money comes from. You know, and it's not a case of failure to file or being late for your filing or having your satellite dish go wonky. It's not the fact that your internet challenged, as I realize the last three speakers are, but this is where you are trying to deceive. This is the standard, and we should not be deceptive about where money comes from in elections, knowingly and willfully, Mr. Not forgetting to do a report.
Thank you, Senator Case. Do I hear the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt division number two of Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to House Bill 187, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That division has failed. We are back on the bill. Discussion on the bill? Further discussion? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 187, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 187 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 225. Will the reading clerk please read that bill?
House Bill 225, Transfer of Ownership of Livestock and Brands, sponsored by Representative Somers, an act relating to brands. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, who reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senator Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Geis? Senator Geis. Now, Senator Geis, my apologies.
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rises and report, I move House Bill 225 do pass, and I'll yield to Senator Hicks to explain the bill.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this just brings into statute kind of what the current practice is as it exists today. And what it gets to is it gets to brand inspections. If you're changing ownership and that owner is you or you to your spouse just because of a name change or you've incorporated into a company, the current situation is right now they don't require you to, typically, although under the statutes, if I want to change my brand or change the name of my place and incorporate to a ranch or change that my spouse got or you got married and change their names, it just codifies what the existing practice is. I'll just go through this real quick. If you go to 11-2203, that's a brand inspection. That's just a change of ownership. All this does is says a legal name change. So if you got married, you didn't have to go do a brand get a brand inspection on the cattle. You still owed them. As long as it's still the same owner across the board. The other section, if you knew down to Romanette number 2, if you transfer a brand from an individual or an individual and his spouse to a business entity, this would be where you and your spouse basically incorporated into an LLC. The livestock still belonged to the same two people. You don't have to do a brand inspection. And then it just brings in the estrays laws and also incorporates that exact same language into the estrays section. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Discussion on House Bill 225. Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 225, please say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 225 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. That motion has carried. Mr. President.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 24, do pass. House Bill 47, do pass. House Bill 51, do pass. House Bill 94, do pass amended. House Bill 133, do pass amended. House Bill 153, do pass. House Bill 154, do pass. House Bill 187, do pass amended. And House Bill 225, do pass. Senator Rothfuss, Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the whole report.
For the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried and the report has been adopted. Messages from the House.
February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 356. Third reading failed. Mr. President, the bill listed below failed to pass House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 114, assault of health care providers. Ayes 24, noes 34, excused 2. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 87, proof of motor vehicle insurance. Ayes 58, excused 2. Senate file 126, overweight and oversized vehicles. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. And Senate File 127, Lien Notice, Ayes 57, Noes 1, Excused 2. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 346, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 65, Municipal Solid Waste Landfill Remediation, Ayes 60. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 348, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 216, Deadly Weapons in a Courtroom. Ayes 59, excused 1. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 347, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 102, Hospitalization of Mentally Ill Persons. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 60. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 357. Conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 28. The House conferees are Representative Lockhart, Chairman, Representatives Gear and Representative Stubson. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 358, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 45. The House conferees are Representative Blake, Chairman, Representatives Kim and McKim, and Representative Wilson. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 359, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 102. The House conferees are Representative Harvey, Chairman, Representatives Gingery and Somers. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 355. Concurrence requested, Mr. President, Senate File 53, Partial Action Subject to Subdivision Laws. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 349, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 11, Circuit Court Magistrates. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 51, no 7, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 351, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 117, Confidentiality of Domestic Abuse Victim Information. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 1, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 15th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message number 354, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 159, Threats of Bodily Injury or Death. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 51, noes 7, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
the Conference Committee for House Bill 102, Hospitalization of Mentally Ill Persons, will be Scott Chairman, Peterson, and Kraft. Is that it? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 19th. Everybody have a great three-day weekend.
Any announcements? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet on Wednesday the 20th at 8 a.m. in room 302, and we will have the pleasure of taking up House Bill 103 engrossed, Regulation of Firearms, State Preemption, and House Bill 104 engrossed, Firearm Protection Act. Mr. President, just a side note, be sure, Senators, to respond to all the emails you're getting. I want the responses to be individual and polite, and don't shoot from the hip.
Any other announcements? Senators, good work this week. Enjoy your weekend. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Senate stands adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 19th.